Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
History Dweebs is sponsored by Black Cat and Me. You can find the Black Cat and Me Etsy website located on our website, historydweebs.org. Also there, you can find links to our podcast and our social media pages. We'd also like to thank our Patreon sponsors, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Sarah Bloom, Ben Dubrovich. Thank you for being sponsors of the show. Jennifer Svoboda, Erica Kenny, Michelle Johns, thank you all for your donations to the History Dweebs podcast. Laura O'Reilly, Shirley Strapp, Anonymous, thank you to each of you for your contributions to the show. Todd Long, Amber Anderson, Jamie Dent, thank you so much for your contributions to the History Dweebs podcast. Marianne The Knight, Clark and Diane Trowbridge, Anna Kaufman, thank you for your kind donations. Jess, Terry Stratford, Danielle Townsend, thank you all for your contributions. Jennifer Orcutt, The Already Gone Podcast, Buffy Sykes, thanks to each of you for donating. Emily Tarkov, Gina Green, Red Menace Miniatures, thank you for contributing to the podcast. Alan Cox, Liz Lawrence, Cheryl LeBlanc Weldon, thank you all for giving to the Patreon of History Dweebs podcast. The person making the donations in Hyro's name, thank you for continuing to do that. Guy Savage, Carl Osplund, thank you for your continued support of the History Dweebs podcast. Christine Harmeyer and Shelley, thank you all for your donations. If you would like to help support the show, you can go to historydweebs.org and click on the Patreon web link. Thank you.
Hi everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today, the title of our episode is Murder in Room 1046. We've got a mystery, Brandy.
Yay.
I love me a mystery. Like mystery. I love me a mystery, Timmy.
We got a mystery for you. A good one.
Cool.
But before we get started, I should remind everyone that we are a true crime comedy podcast. Well, sometimes we're true crime. Sometimes we're a history podcast. Sometimes we just make shit up.
We do make shit up at times, yeah.
But we do use adult language. And we've got, we think we got a system in place, Colonel, that now with Thad as our producer, he can mute Brandy if she starts to use words that are not
well,
family
I don't know
that you don't understand.
I don't know that Thad has instituted the 30-second delay, Timmy, to and the 55
30 seconds before she starts talking.
Yeah, the 55 gallon drum of bleach that we would need to cleanse ourselves from the filth she spews, Timmy.
Okay, yeah. Quit deep throating the microphone if you could. That'd be friggin' great.
Are you excited for this episode, Randy?
I'm super excited. I can't even stand it. Can't even stand it. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I mean,
how many episodes we got here?
A guy gave his life so that we could.
So we could tell a story.
Yeah.
In a compassionate, you know,
respectful way.
Stop.
Advocates, stop. Victims advocate way.
And
we
not
do?
In a way that is abusive or. We don't want to use foul language because this is a young man. He died, but now it was about 100 years ago, yeah. I guess. 90 years ago.
So he's an old man now.
91 years ago. Yeah.
He's not an old man now. He's dead.
And yeah. It still doesn't make him, so it makes him still young. Fucker's old. He's rotten.
You're always the age you die, devil. Kurt Cobain's still 27. Jimi Hendrix still 27. That's the age you are.
Amy Winehouse.
I'm sure they'd agree with you with worms crawling through their eye holes. But you're right, sure.
See, now you just...
Why you gotta be so coarse, devil?
I was just thinking how beautiful Amy Winehouse was. Now I picture...
I don't know why. Why would you think that? She was a strung out, hot mess express.
Oh, have a little compassion, devil. She's...
I don't know if I've ever introduced you to...
Had some trauma.
Some of the women I used to date...
Well, no, I know.
She's pretty goddamn well adjusted. Timmy's got a different bar than the rest of us.
Clearly. I think we have all talked about why I, you know what, I cannot just, I'm not on my good meds. We need to just keep this going because I'm bound to get testy.
Bound to get testy. That, you know what, that should be really the name of this podcast. Brandy's bound to get testy because we've done how many episodes, Timmy?
Be a lot more fucking popular than this one.
30 or something.
Yeah, and every one of them, Brandy has gotten quite testy. So
it's a mystery.
There's a theme.
But there does seem to be a running theme.
Like this podcast, that will remain such a mystery for people, even though I get messages like, how have you not throat punched Chuck? Why don't you, you know, how have you not gouged out Timmy's eyes? I mean, if I get one, I get a million. So,
oh, and if you know, I get them all. I get them.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I got one from the abuse shelter from somebody giving me the hotline for podcast host abuse.
What? See, I just get all the notes I get are asking me for nudes.
Oh, yeah. Pod.
That's
well. Tell
you get
Leanne
sure of those too, Chuck.
Tell Leanne to back away from the keyboard.
Hey, she bought the cow. She gets those,
right?
Well,
I mean,
but we're gonna start about our new segment, and Brandy will love this. How's your poo? Because that's a popular topic.
It is a popular not. This.
Yeah,
it's not a new. Yeah. Why you know, this wasn't run by me? Was there a fucking meeting about it?
Miramax.
You yeah. fuck Miralax. Miralax. Miramax was Harvey Weinstein. Fucking hell, we are not talking about poop. Too much of my life revolves around poop as it is. This cannot be it. Please.
It sounds like you had a shitty day, devil.
You're a shit heel. How about that?
Oh.
Do you?
Well, I'll just take some Miralax and clear all that up. Or Miramax.
Miramax.
I'll take some Miramax.
You know, I could just say the people that you encounter every day, devil, they're the real heroes. Aren't they?
I know.
They're the real heroes.
No. You know why they're not the real fucking heroes? Because they keep trying to put cash in my goddamn right machine that doesn't fucking take cash.
It will.
Idiots.
It will sometimes.
No.
Sometimes if you try it, it will.
Oh, no. Let me tell you
Hold
something.
Hold on. I actually have a question about that. I thought about this the other day.
What?
Is it the machine is not designed to take cash or is the machine broken?
The machine's broken.
So then why don't you get it fixed?
That's a fucking great idea, Thad. I wish that we had thought
right.
to call the Target people and say, hey, come fix your shit. Oh, wait, we did. They've been out 5 fucking times. It's still fucking broken. And better still than that, let me tell you something, little Target shoppers. They're shutting down the self-scan, shutting it fucking down because they want you to interact with me. Bullshit. And you know what? We had all of them blocked off. We had all of them logged out. The lights are off, and we have people going around the stanchions and then looking at us going, it won't scan. I almost lost my shit.
Brandy, is your job customer service
I mean,
they want to get rid of salt skin altogether.
Do you know what happened to me the other day, Devil? And I thought of you. I pulled through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and I got up to the little speaker, and the motherfucker asked me, could I help you? Have you placed an order with our app? Have you placed an order with our app? I want a goddamn cheeseburger. That's all I want. A goddamn cheeseburger. That's all I want. I want a goddamn cheeseburger. And so I started to think about this as I'm leaving, and I thought, had I placed the order on my app, the only thing that would have saved me was from saying yes to the person there and not telling them that I wanted a double cheeseburger. And I would have still had to wait in line between all the other fuckers in front of me that did not use the app. And then when I got to the pay window, I would not have had to have handed my check card over to the person there. So in all, it would have saved the people at McDonald's roughly 30 seconds, and it would have probably taken me 20 minutes to put the fucking order in on my app. I want a goddamn... So then my son tells me Starbucks has got an app. A goddamn cup of coffee. Want a coffee? Yeah. And you get an app. Mm-hmm. And you still got to stand in line. It's not like all the app people come over here. If McDonald's had a thing where it said, oh, just drive straight through, we're going to have your order stay, you know, somebody going to run out to the curb, toss it in your car, you ain't even got to slow down. Yeah, fine.
You're yelling at clouds now, aren't you?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you are, Grandpa.
We're taking, sometimes technology goes too goddamn far.
They'll bring it out to you.
Hmm?
They will bring it out to you in a parking lot.
They'll bring it out to you if you ask them for, like, no onions on the Big Mac, because then you fuck up the whole system, and it's like you go over to the side.
I will say I agree with you, but I mean, I will say with Starbucks, it doesn't make a lot of sense because you walk in, there are 15 people standing by the counter who have ordered on the app, and they're waiting just like every other bastard who goes in and places the order there. So I don't understand the convenience of that. I think the only thing that's beneficial is that on the app, sometimes there are exclusive app items that you can order. Like Chipotle has one. Like, you can only buy this thing if you get it on the app. See, I think it's a
Here's my thing, Fed.
It's only available on the
app. I'm trying to live off the grid. I don't want McDonald's collecting my data.
Fuck you, Ron Swanson.
You know,
fuck you, Ron Swanson. You are not living off the goddamn grid.
And I pay cash. And you know another thing I found out that really sucks? I go to Kroger. Okay, I
quit.
I go to Kroger.
He wants to go to a bartering system, don't he?
I do. I go to Kroger, get some groceries.
Chickens?
Goddamn right. I get some groceries. I pay with my check card. It asks me if I want cash back. Well, who doesn't want cash back? So I say, yeah, I do. So it says, you know, and I'm trying not to be greedy. I just hit $100, Timmy. And
it's nice.
Yeah, I take my milk, my eggs, my, you know, my keto stuff, and I get about my business with my $100. And, you know, I look at my account, and that trip to Kroger's cost me $144. They actually charge you for the cash you take, Devil.
No fucking shit.
Yeah, I mean, but they act like it's a gift. They don't tell you we're going to charge you for this money.
Okay, Grandpa.
I'm just telling you.
You're going to need, I don't know what to tell you. And I don't care about anything that you just said. So can we just do introductions and get going? Because I've taken 4 muscle relaxers. And at some point before this is over, it's going to kick in.
Is it because,
and then I'm leaving.
As far as I can still, you're still balls to the wall.
I just
cocaine
took
bear
them
here.
Nose.
I don't think
well,
you,
I just
you
took
needed
them.
To store them.
And then I had this. And then I sat through that goddamn awful story about going to Kroger. I mean,
and you know what, Kroger?
Hell.
You know what else they got, and they don't warn you? I don't know if Target does this, but they should come with a warning on them. I'm pushing my cart across the parking lot, and all of a sudden, every fucking wheel on the thing locks up. I almost flip over the goddamn cart.
Because you
can't
take it out of the parking lot.
And I'm standing there, and the guy with the cart comes over, and you know what he says to me accusingly? What did you do? Like, how in the fuck? Oh, I guess I threw the emergency brake on the cart. You know, it's a big red handle.
Listen. First of all, stop lying. You were driving it. You were taking it down the sidewalk.
I know what I was doing.
Stop fucking lying.
You weren't
there. I know what you were doing. I know what you're always doing. I know what you're always doing. You were, you know, picking up cans with the fucking
thing. There's big money in aluminum.
Grandpa. Okay. Grandpa. So I've heard.
When I was in high school, we'd go to Best Buy with our shitty cars and we'd run into all the carts. That was a lot of fun. Sometimes with people in them. That was even more fun.
Wow.
Eh, boys are dumb.
They are. Believe me.
You know, those homeless people are boys are dumb. As hell, Charles.
My wife tells me that at least once a week. Mm-hmm. She'll look at me and go, boys are dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, I just said homeless people can be very tenacious.
They can.
Let me introduce a lady who needs no introduction. She has been described as, well, Brandy, I hate to bring this up, but you know, as it came out this week that King Charles is cancer.
But not prostate cancer.
We wish him all the best.
Don't they were very specific that it wasn't prostate cancer, but wouldn't say what kind of cancer it was. He's got nut cancer. He's got the nut cancer.
It's anal. Anal cancer. He's
full Lance Armstrong. He's got anal cancer.
My point is, Brandy, where are you at in the succession of the British throne? Are you in that somewhere?
King Ralph is based on Brandy. No. Should that happen?
I love King Ralph.
I would do a better job. Of course, I would just dissolve it. So
job. That is no fun.
Yeah, but you know,
really? Because I feel like the people in Britain may appreciate that, so they don't have to pay all those fucking taxes.
This is true.
That's true. Then they couldn't sell the Union Jack.
Is there a God Save the King song? Place.
Yeah. No, there is.
Because nobody gives a shit about Charles.
Well, it doesn't sound like he's going to be around much longer. Nobody gives a shit. Poor bastard.
That's fine, too.
You just throw out so much bad. You got karma's just looking at you and pulling back its quiver, devil, and just quit throwing all the meanness out in the thing. King Charles is a fine man.
Brit now, so
he's got some big ears. I mean, his ears are kind of fucked up. He's a turd.
He's a turd. And Charles and Diana, Timmy, who did he marry?
He married Camellia Parker Bowles.
Camilla. So yeah, and she is not even a handsome woman. However, she is just.
You know what I mean? You know,
have you seen him?
I want you to think about something.
No, I get it. Right. But you go this from is Diana what I want you to think about. Come on now.
See, Diana's forever young because she died.
Right, she died young. You are. This is what I want you to consider about Camilla Bowles. You've got Princess Diana, maybe the loveliest woman in the universe, and you're tapping that Diana ass, right? And so all of a sudden, this woman comes along that makes you leave Diana. You just wonder what kind of sexual skills that Camilla has, Timmy.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure she's. You know.
Because you
I had always darkness heard is her friend. Camilla was like. That Camilla was his original love, and he was not allowed to marry her.
That's the thing; they've clearly not watched the Crown.
I've watched every
get with it, guys.
I haven't watched the recent season, but I've watched the other ones.
But you don't need to watch it, Tim. Just ask your wife; she'll tell you. She's from there.
That's true. So she lived it.
My lovely Aunt Leanne can fill y'all in.
We've been watching the Tudors, and she's been
fucking Tudors.
I love the Tudors.
Yeah,
Tudors. I like John Tudor. Remember him?
I do.
Only pitch for the Cardinals.
I do. He was a fine pitcher. Left-hander.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have great houses. Okay, Timmy.
She's been known as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Well, Timmy, not good. But I don't want to talk about it. I'd rather listen to Chuck bitch and moan and gripe. So just go ahead and move on to Chuck. Because he's being a little bitch.
Out there really care, Brandy, about your life.
There's got to be six. I bet there's six.
Again, I'm still at Target. I'm still dealing with stupid fucking people.
Oh, by the way, this is...
I, you know...
Colonel, we're going to have... This is Talk Like Truman Capote Day.
Yeah, but I didn't get to watch it yet, Timmy. We're going to have to do it next episode.
You know what? Truman Capote's voice is grating at the very least. That's the nicest thing I can say about that.
Leanne does? That,
and it's grating as fuck.
That had to be an affectation.
We're watching Swans.
Say that had to be an affectation, right? I mean, there wasn't his real voice.
Yeah, as far as I know, it was. It's all every interview I've ever seen of him is Philip Seymour Hoffman fucking nailed it.
We're watching.
He fucking nailed it, and it's grating as shit.
Truman Capote and the Swans.
Which one?
It's on Hulu. Yeah.
What?
It's
what? Was this like? Wait a minute. Wait. Stop. Is this like they did Bette Midler and Joan Crawford feud?
No, well, you know,
or is
what
this a different show?
What Truman Capote did, he got in tight.
Okay, you're not answering my question.
He got in tight with all these, you know, Gloria Vanderbilt and all the, you know, rich people in New York City.
Right.
He got in that clique, and then he started writing. Uh-huh. He wrote a book about him, trashing him. Yeah, and the miniseries, the miniseries on Hulu. It's called The Feud.
Right. Okay. I caught that part, but there's a show called Feud, and Ryan Murphy did it, and it was the feud between Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. So is this along the lines of that, or is this something else? Is this a dramatization? Is it a dramatization?
No, or is it a documentary? It's a show.
It's a docudrama. It's a docudrama.
It's a docudrama. No, it's not a docudrama. It's just a show.
Not even fucking helping.
That's really good.
So there's birds in it. There's birds in it.
Yeah.
No.
But he would get, you know, he'd get in real tight with him, and, you know, and then he'd trash him.
As he should.
Hey, Noah.
Hey, Noah.
Noah's hair got really curly.
It's curly and it's long. And he likes it. He's got a girlfriend. She's 14.
He's not that old, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 12. He's okay. It would be different if it was, you know, if he was 24 or something.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, I guess.
Exactly. That's right. You got an older woman.
Yeah,
you go,
you
Noah.
Kick them out before they get too old.
You do. I mean, once they hit 22, 23, the butts start sagging, whatnot.
Listen, I don't even want to start talking about the shit that's sagging on you right now. As you go out in your bathrobe yelling at the clouds and Kroger.
I'm just saying that if the things are going to lock up on you, make you flip over your car, end up with your head sitting on a thing of cabbage, they ought to warn you. That's all I'm saying. And the cash ain't free.
Why would they warn you? It's their anti-theft.
Yeah, but I wasn't stealing nothing but the cash. But I had to pay for that too.
Let me introduce the man.
Yes, you did. All right. So.
Yeah,
I had to go through the whole drive-through. I didn't get, I asked the person. I said, "I'm
kind of new with the podcast, but we never go back and ask him to finish a story."
Well, I did get to a window, and I said, "You know, I'm a little
did you get to the
confused
wall?
As to what the advantage of the app is if you don't have a speed drive-through lane for people who use an app. I just gotta." Would I've been able to cut around these people to get my food had I placed it on the app? And they said, no, some of them put it on the app too. And I said, well, okay, that's all right. You're not collecting data.
You held up the line stupid questions.
Goddamn right I did. I got justice.
Of course you did. You are.
Let me introduce
my fucking dad. What justice?
Justice.
A man, a best-selling author.
Jesus.
He's been called the... A sexual savant?
Nope.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have heard that one before.
He is a man of God, man of the cloth.
Yeah, not wrong there.
Very honorable. The Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Timmy,
what is wrong?
Well, Timmy, okay, so I'm out.
He had to go through the McDonald's
I'm out
line.
There. Okay, I had to go to the hardware store. I go, but now this is a true story. I'll tell you this one.
my back head. Your face away from that mic before I find you.
I like where back I'm at. You're not the boss of me. So anyway, I go to the. One of my headlights is out. I buy the bulb. I apparently looked at the wrong line. I got the wrong bulb. When I go to buy the bulb, it's like $30. The kid at the counter tells me it's $95. And I'm like, it's not $95. It can't be $95. It's only $30. So then they get this old man to come over, the manager, and he straightens it all out. And I pay my $30 for the bulb. I get home, pull my old bulb out, and apparently I have purchased the wrong bulb. So I head back the next day and I say, hey, look here. This is not the right bulb. I apparently looked at the wrong line in your book and I need to exchange it. And he says, do you have a receipt? Now, who keeps goddamn receipts? I said, no, but I got the card I had. And, you know, you put my phone number in there when you took it. And he said, well, I need the receipt. And I was in no mood. And I just looked at him and I said, you know, I'm not doing this today with you. We're not doing this. And Dan, the old guy who had sold me the thing when they tried to overcharge me $95, I said, Dan, come here. Come here, Dan. And he said, yeah. I said, look here. I bought this bulb, you remember, last night when the kid fucked it all up. I just wanted the right bulb, Timmy. Okay. And it turns out that who in the fuck keeps receipts? That's what I want to know in this day and age. I looked through my wallet. I got all kinds of receipts. I got a receipt from McDonald's, but it wasn't from that. Anyway,
is it for a cheeseburger?
It turns out that I ended up, it took, I don't know, 15 minutes to straighten it all out. And I ended up with $1.36 back and the right bulb, Timmy.
It was a good day.
It was a good day. I could have.
You could have upsized the McDonald's.
You know, Wendy's, you can't even afford to eat at Wendy's anymore. I used to get the double cheeseburgers for the junior bacon junior double cheeseburgers. Used to cost me $1. I went in there the other day, ordered two of them. They told me $7. So I thought they clearly got the order wrong. The prices have changed.
Dan and I went to BW3's the other day, and it was like $58.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I don't want the whole goddamn buffalo. I just want a little slice of it.
I went, three chicken tenders and a few wedges.
You know, Timmy, I'm going to tell you something. I drove by a place today, Timmy, and, you know, I don't cast stones at you because I have made some questionable life choices in my time. But I saw
I find that hard to believe,
a big sign
this podcast
at White Castle advertising clam strips, Timmy. Clam strips. I cannot think of a worse decision than going into White Castle and saying, I want clam strips. Are they filleting the clam? What are they doing?
White Castle and shellfish.
They don't. So
I remember years ago when they started selling shrimp, and I thought the same thing. I'm like, man, shrimp from White Castle.
Even
does
if
not
they
sound
were to
like
call, if they were to call them clam tenders, then that might give you reason to pause. You know, like a clam tender. There ain't nobody. Everybody likes tender clam. Am I wrong, Timmy? Oh yeah. But anyway, clam strips. Clam strips.
Yeah.
That's what they called them.
Yeah, I do.
Breaded clams.
I'm with you there. Although maybe with the frosty, one of the little frosties, it might not be too bad.
And you know what I thought of?
White Castle doesn't sell frosties.
They used to sell those little ice creams.
This one's for you and your followers. I saw the picture and they're breaded strips of clam, and I thought breaded clam sounds just like a yeast infection to me.
Waiting to happen.
Yeah. So okay. Because isn't that what you women get down there? A bunch of yeast and sourdough bread and whatnot?
I don't know why they make it's bread.
I'm not
it goes with the bad bread making process.
It does.
I just don't.
Time to make the donuts. So other than that, I'm fine,
Timmy.
Thad
looks awful blurry to me.
He does. Thad looks like Linda Lovelace's first movie, Timmy. It looks like the same cinematographer there.
I was going to write a script on Linda Lovelace.
Yeah.
Do we not? Are we trying to
get
wrinkles on his face? What are we doing here? Who gives a shit? It's a
podcast.
We are
joined also by our producer, Matt Thad. Producer, how are you today, Thad?
Oh, I guess I'm doing well. I thought our little experiment here of new software would fix my problem, and it's not. It's still happening. So, I don't know. Aside from having to buy a brand new computer, which is not going to happen. I don't know. So, you know, other than that, things are good. School's going good. I've got a little, hopefully about maybe just a year and a semester left and I'll be done. Things are moving along. I don't have hepatitis C.
That's
so,
a win.
You know,
that is a win.
I don't know what could be better. Yeah. That's right. It is. I think so. Yeah. Had to go to the doctor and she said, have you ever had a hep C test? And I said, no, I don't think so. Well, why don't we run one? Okay. Came back today negative. So I've got that going for me. Thad Scott, no hep C.
Not everyone on this podcast can say
that. I don't have hep C. I was tested. I've been tested.
Chuck.
I got
tested. Your mom had you tested?
I've been tested for everything.
My mother had me tested.
All right, let's get into the show. Let's talk about this.
Let me also just say a quick shout. Oh, before we do that, just a quick shout out.
Wait a minute.
To my brother.
Go ahead.
It's his birthday.
My brother.
Michael Scott.
Today's his birthday.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Michael Scott Jr. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mike. Good news.
Happy birthday, sir.
Happy birthday.
He is 52, I think. 51.
I think it was 74.
I'm a terrible brother. I don't know these things.
Right?
74. It was a cold winter that
74,
year.
74. So okay.
74 would make it 50 this year.
I remember because.
So he would be. Yep. So today. Oh, it would be 50.
Nothing like forgetting your brother's 50th birthday, but yeah. Go ahead. Shout out's good. That's good.
Let's talk about murder in room 1046.
Like I said, I'm a good brother.
I'd love to.
And by the time this comes out in 2 weeks, it'll really be on time.
Despite mountains of evidence, the mystery of what happened to Roland T. Owen in room 1046 of the hotel, it's really the President Hotel in Kansas City, remains unsolved to this day. I wonder if they like party in that room for the Super Bowl. Could be.
Maybe. Yeah.
Taylor Swift probably ran
on
it out.
January. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I've just given up on the whole Taylor Swift thing. I'm just saying, okay, have her on as much as you like.
You know what? I'm going to tell you this. She kind of came on to me a little bit. And she slipped into my DMs on Facebook to me. And I just thought, you know, Travis, and I just feel bad for Travis. And I just thought, you know, there ain't going to be an album called Dear Colonel. You know,
right?
Because she likes to write a little bit about you. If it don't go wrong, if it goes wrong, she likes to put it out on vinyl, Timmy. And
what I find fascinating is people are getting so twisted about her being on the screen that she's always on there all the time. So the last football game that she was at, they showed her for a total of like 32 seconds. Was it? And everybody's still
having
a
fucking
question
about it. Well, my only problem with it is, does she have Chiefs paraphernalia on when they show her? Yes, goddammit, she does. And I don't want to see any Chiefs paraphernalia. Unless it's walking to the loser's tunnel. That's all I
want
to see.
Nobody gives a fuck what you want. All right, Jimmy, go ahead.
January the 2nd, 1935, at 1:20 p.m., that's in the afternoon, Brandy, a lone man checked into the President Hotel in downtown Kansas City. He had no luggage. He had no luggage besides a comb and a toothbrush.
Ooh, sounds like Reacher.
What do you think about that comb?
Sounds like Reacher. The show Reacher.
Yeah, this season sucked, but go ahead.
Didn't guys used to be able to play like the
biting commentary
and the tissue? Didn't they maybe make music out of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And spoons.
And asked for an interior room on a high floor of the hotel. He checked in under the name Ronald T. Owen and complained to the bellboy about the outrageous prices of the neighboring hotel. After checking in to the President Hotel and receiving his room 1046 on the 10th floor, he left the hotel only to be seen intermittently throughout his stay. That means every once in a while, Brandy.
intermittently.
Want to break that down a little bit more there, Colonel?
Well, I think you intermittently is what we need. Well, you're reading this part, so it's okay to string them together. But I got an idea for the next podcast, Timmy. When we get to the devil's part, and you have like intermittently, just break it down to like, you know, three words. Intermittent.
When the fuck did I strike you people as stupid?
It's not when stupid. You just tend to mangle the King's English, devil. I'm just
really
saying.
Because he has fucked up Roman.
I'm just saying
he's fucked up president. He's fucked up Kansas goddamn city. Do you ever run out of things to say?
I'm
shut
just saying sometimes
the
you
fuck
can,
up.
Sometimes you can
get... This motherfucker here can't say Washington. He can't say wash. He can't say half the words in the King's English. But you're right. You all need to string this along for me. Shut the fuck up. Quit swallowing the mic. Let Timmy try and get through his bullshit so I can get on with my evening. Because they're not going to kick in time. And I have all the time in the world to come find each one of you batshit crazy motherfuckers and snap your neck. And if you think I won't, fucking try me. Timmy, read the goddamn script.
Timmy, you seem a little on edge.
Jesus, suffering Christ.
Have you noticed that? She seems a little on edge.
I'm just saying, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Nobody gives a fuck about Chuck's trip to McDonald's. Nobody gives a fuck that he's running around screaming at clouds because Kroger's charging him for his money now. Nobody gives a fuck that he almost went over the handlebars because he was stealing the cart like a dumbass. Nobody cares.
Are you done, Cocaine Bear?
I wish you fucking would.
Have you seen the movie Cocaine Bear?
I haven't even fucking started. It was brilliant. I haven't even fucking started.
No, the man's behavior struck the President Hotel's staff as odd. They didn't think much of him. After all, the hotel often played host to out-of-towners and businessmen looking for some late-night
company.
Isn't
that what a hotel does?
And the less the staff got involved, the better.
It's kind of like their thing.
You know, some guys come in. He probably come in from Poughkeepsie, and they want in a little female and some little female companion. Brandon, you can't blame a man.
Well, yeah, the pickings in Poughkeepsie, I'm sure.
The staff wouldn't give his behavior another thought until days later when the man turned up dead. then they were taken aback.
That will get somebody's attention generally.
That gave him pause. That gave him pause.
His hotel room was a brutal bloodbath, Brandy. But let's go on. Let me tell you what happened.
Now, see, this is one of those things that Chuck loves. It's a brutal bloodbath. As opposed to a...
It was a brutal one. It was brutal.
As they described to police, the brutal scene, questions arose about the man's behavior prior to his death.
That seems like some victim shaming to me.
Well, I mean, you would ask questions if he was brutally murdered.
Like it does guy, raise like a flag.
I mean,
they're trying to yuck his yum.
Like that dude that saw his friends like die in his backyard. That was weird.
I would like to say that, you know, that's what cops do, but not all cops
looks
do
like
that,
he's dead.
Evidently. So, yep.
According to the Kansas City News, that same day, the hotel maid, Mary Soptic, stopped by to clean his room.
You know when she went to school. How'd you like to go to school with the name Mary Soptic? I'm just saying, what the kid said to her? Because children are cruel.
No.
She was either...
I think she had one of those little French maids outfits.
She was either Mary Septic. I'm just saying.
Well,
children
anyway,
are cruel.
She stopped in what? To see... On the day they found his body, she stopped in to clean his room. It was around noon, and most of the hotel residents were out for the day. However, upon reaching Owens's room, Soptic found the door to be locked from the inside. She knocked, and Owen opened the door after insisting she could come back later. Oh yeah, I mean, I don't like it when they come and
I don't either
clean my room when I'm still there.
No, especially when you're in Thailand.
Yeah,
I still got 45 minutes left. Come back in an hour and 20.
The maid eventually entered. She found the room is almost found the room in almost complete darkness, with the shades tightly drawn, and only light coming from a small dim table lamp.
She wanted it lit up like a disco? What the fuck is she expecting?
As she cleaned the room, Owen mentioned that he had a friend coming to visit him shortly, and would she mind not locking the door? So Soptic agreed, and Owen left the room. 4 hours later, the maid, Mary Soptic, returned to the room 1046 with fresh towels. She found the door still unlocked from when she had cleaned the room earlier that afternoon, and upon entering, found Owen lying fully clothed on top of his still-made bed, seemingly asleep. A note on the bedside, his bedside table read, "Don, I will be back in 15 minutes. Wait." The next
morning was January 3rd. Cryptic and malevolent to me.
Well, the next morning, January 3rd, Soapy Strange's interactions with room 1046 continued. Around 10:30 a.m., she stopped by to make the beds and found Owen's door to be locked from the outside, as it would be when a guest would
Timmy,
leave.
Timmy, you have set this up. I want to keep the story rolling here, but I got to tell you, Timmy, you set this up like a campfire story. You've set a mood and ambiance. So, as you're reading this, could you not fuck it up and keep it going, Devil? Go ahead.
Yeah, try to stay focused, Brandy.
Try.
Okay, so assuming that Owen was not in sight. Oh yeah, you guys can fuck yourselves. Okay. She opened the door with her master key. To her surprise, Owen was still sitting in the dark, in a chair in the corner of the room. As she cleaned, the phone rang and Owen picked it up. "No, Don, I don't want to eat. I'm not hungry. I just had breakfast." After a moment, he repeated, "No, I'm not hungry." After he hung up, Owen began asking Soptic about her job and the hotel, the first time he'd ever really spoken to her. He asked her about how many rooms she was in charge of, what kind of people lived in the President Hotel, if any, and again complained about the price of the neighboring hotel. Soptic answered, finished cleaning, and left Owen alone in room 1046.
I mean, you kind of screwed it up, Randy.
You want to keep Owen, or you want to reread that, and you can fix it in editing, because Timmy had a smooth roll going there, Thad, and I just feel like we got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smooth as sandpaper.
It was like,
all right.
Let me just ask, because I think I missed something. Why does he give a shit about the price of the neighboring hotel?
Well, I think he went to check in.
I don't know.
And asked him, "Did you check in? Do you want to check in using our app?" And he got a little irritated. He was still mad about it.
Hey.
No.
Because it would have saved him any time. He still would have had to wait in line. And okay.
It was only after she left that she realized that since the door had been locked from the outside, someone had to have locked it in his room.
She's got a point there, Brandy.
You ever notice, a quick point.
Later that day,
she used the master key, but there's no, you never hear of a sub key. You got the sub and the master.
Well, you don't get a sub key because that's what they use when they might put
that makes sense. That would be the sub key. Yeah. But then the master would have it, so it will be a master key.
It's a good point.
That's a brain twister.
Got a good point there,
that's
Randy.
A mind fucker right there. That's a mind fucker, Timmy.
It is.
Think about it, Devil. Think about it. It's a sub key for the chastity belt.
No.
But then you give it to the master and it becomes a master key. It's the same key. but its whole identity changes based on whose hands it is in.
And you know what?
It's like Schrodinger's
already forgotten
key.
About whatever you're talking
you
about.
You might, and you might, even if you are, even if you're wearing
Schrodinger's. Oh, I'm sorry.
You may have
Schrodinger's.
Not you may have I'm sorry. That was when all along.
Yeah. Again, I'm not the motherfucker that puts the R in Washington.
Chastity Belt 2000. Thad, look that up.
So later that day, Saptik returned with fresh towels, having taken the ones from the room that morning. However, she knocked this time. She heard two voices in the room, rather than just Owen. When she announced that she had fresh towels, a loud, deep voice told her to leave, claiming they had enough
we
towels.
We had enough towels.
Kind of like that.
Well, it's probably fucking Dawn. It's probably fucking Dawn. Though she knew that she had removed all of the towels from the room that morning, Saptik left the two men alone, not wishing to intrude on what was clearly a sensitive and private conversation.
You know, it wasn't Brandy. But Brandy wasn't the maid, Colonel, because you know she'd be all up in his business.
I know you don't have any goddamn towels. There's no towels in here. Don't tell me you got enough towels. There's no towels in here. Go all crazy on him. Muscle relaxes, having kicked in. She's all kicking down the door. Let me put these goddamn towels. I ain't carting these towels all around the goddamn hallway.
Use the same fucking towels you used yesterday.
That same afternoon.
Tim, let me tell you about the Dream Lover 2000 is a chastity belt with an electric pulse add-on.
Goddamn right. I want to jolt that juju if it starts getting bad.
It hangs right around the tank.
Hold on.
Is where it gives you the
is
little
is this for a man or for a
jolt.
Woman?
They got them for both.
No, you looked up the wrong thing. You was in the wrong category altogether, well. Sad.
They got them for both.
Attaboy,
he said,
Thad.
He said chastity belt 2000.
Now pick a cage.
Yeah.
Pecker cage.
It's not the called pecker that cage. Yet, hillbilly. The same afternoon, the President Hotel got two more guests whose presence would contribute greatly to the mystery of what happened to Roland T. Owen in room 1046.
I don't like the name Roland.
Well, it's his name, so nobody gives a shit. The first was Jean Owen, of no relation to Roland. She'd come to Kansas City to meet her boyfriend for the day and decided that rather...
There we go.
Put up the woman's
No, that one's fine. You know what, though? You better not get that medication that fucks up your taint or you're going to be in a world of hurt.
Ooh, look at that. Do you think that rusts after a while? Goddamn.
Does it come in a different size? Because I don't want my junk all packed up in there. Yeah, it does look
that looks a little cramped, doesn't it?
Doesn't look like it's got enough square.
Well, let's hope you don't get excited.
I think the point is that you don't really. Like, you just can't. It hurts. The pain is the point. Because it looks to me like you'd have to
price
fold
list.
It.
You know you can buy chastity belts on Amazon. How'd you know that so quickly, Devil?
Don't worry about why I know things. Don't even sweat it.
I'm curious how expensive these are. Oh, wow, look at these. These are like anywhere from 500 to 800 pounds.
That's roughly $1.
Look at that.
You're putting your junk in it. I mean, you want something sturdy.
Shit, for $1,000, I just wouldn't let them...
And all these different types, like
the girl. I don't care. I ain't paying $1,000. I'll give her $1,000 and just say, "Don't bang somebody else." How about that?
That one for $1,200 is nickel brushed. So that's a fancy one.
That is a fancy one. All right, so
nickel brushed chastity belt.
So Jean came to meet her boyfriend and decided that rather than drive all the way back to her hometown on the outskirts of the city, she would stay for the night in a hotel. Upon checking into the President Hotel, Jean Owen was given the key to room 1048, right next door to Roland.
That's a coincidence.
That night, according to police Well, somebody had to have the room the right next to him. Why not her?
That's pretty. I'm not buying
that. Oh, my God. All right. That night, according to police statements, she heard a repeated commotion. She heard a lot of noise, which sounded like it was on the same floor and consisted largely of men and women talking loudly and cursing. So, like, somebody's listening to our podcast. When the noise continued, I was about to call the desk clerk, but decided not to. The other hotel guest was not quite a guest at all. The bellhop, who had been on duty that night, described her as a commercial woman who often frequented the rooms of the hotel's male patrons late at night.
Yeah. So she sold cigarettes.
You think the bellhop had one of those little fez hats?
You know he did. If it was more than $90 or $2 a night. Yeah.
If he was a Shriner. On the evening of January 3rd, she came into the hotel searching for a man in room 1026. However, despite being a very prompt customer,
you know what's
the woman
ironic
couldn't seem to find the man she was looking for.
That would be ironic.
That would be ironic.
Yes, it would.
Jesus Christ.
After searching for well over an hour on multiple floors, she gave up and went home. Both of the women's statements would raise more questions about the fate of the man in room 1046. The next morning, the bellhop received a call from the hotel's telephone operator. The phone in room 1046 had been off the hook for 10 minutes without anybody using it. The bellhop went up to check on Owen and noticed that the door was locked with a do not disturb sign hung on the doorknob. He knocked on the door anyway, and Owen told him to come in. However, when the bellhop told Owen that the door was locked, he got no response. The bellhop knocked again, then yelled for Owen to hang up the phone, assuming Owen had simply been drunk and knocked it off the hook.
Because you remember, like,
however,
when you'd have a landline, right, and you knocked a phone off the hook, it'd make that real loud noise.
We all lived it. No, we all lived it. It's okay.
We have a lot of younger listeners, Brandy.
Yeah, they don't know.
They might not even know what a landline is.
It's an educational show, though.
However, an hour and a half later, the telephone operator called the bellhop again. The phone in room 1046 was still off the... First of all, this fucking telephone operator's the nosy bitch. The phone in 1046 was still off the hook and hadn't been hung up at all. This time... The bellhop let himself into Owen's room with the master key. The man was lying naked on the bed, seemingly drunk. Not wishing to deal with him, the bellhop simply straightened the phone, placed it back on the hook, and locked the door behind him, reporting Roland T. Owen to his manager. This time, according to the Kansas City News, when the bellhop opened the door, What? I don't even know. Why is he going back up there? Like we've missed something, but that's okay. This time, according to the Kansas City News, the next time when the bellhop opened the door, he found a bloodbath splattered across the walls. After the bellhop ran to alert others, a group returned and found Owen collapsed in the room, his head in his hands, suffering multiple stab wounds. The bed sheets and towels were stained with blood and the walls were covered with it. Thaddeus.
So after police arrived, they asked a barely conscious Owen who had done. It's a miracle.
He's a Shriner.
They asked a barely conscious Owen who had done this to him.
It's true. He's not going out like that.
Nobody, he said. Doctors and detectives observed that Owen had been tortured viciously.
Tortured lovingly.
His arms?
Right.
Tortured.
How do you think he was tortured?
Caringly.
Oh, you know, they probably had
light torture.
Yeah, a little light torture here.
I don't think it doesn't sound like that. Thad, keep reading.
His arms, legs, and neck had been restrained by some kind of cord, and his chest sustained multiple stab wounds. He also suffered a punctured lung and a fractured skull.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like
skull.
light power.
Though he was taken to a hospital.
Stuff to me.
No, it doesn't.
Though he was taken to a hospital, Roland T. Owen was pronounced dead at the hospital shortly after arriving in the wee hours of January 5th, 1935. The doctors would also ascertain that...
Mm-hmm. Well, Shriners are... Shriners
he's a tough little bastard.
They don't fuck around. Yeah.
The bellhop was a Shriner. That part of the story.
I mean, they ride around in those little cars, right? I mean,
they do have they get monkeys, a wreck.
You know, they drive around those little tricycles
they do.
Circles.
Wait a minute. Which one is it? Shriners that has the little kid they always give you, the adorable blanket? Is it that one? With the teddy bear blanket? Dude, I'm telling you, that one fucking kid, Mr. Glass, the little kid with the bow tie and the fucking wheelchair or whatever, that fucker's 80 years old. I've seen him since I was a kid.
You know what I saw one time, speaking of that? Yeah.
And why? No, I don't want to speak to that of you. Why don't they just, instead of the blankets, why don't they not have blankets? Then they could probably not need donations.
I used to stay up and watch the scary movies on Saturday night. And,
Chiller
Theater. And after, you know, I didn't have the cable with the 27 channels.
Stop eating and, the mic. Back up.
I
want to
make sure
Thad
catches all this. Back up.
Back the fuck up.
I'm watching these scary movies, you know, and the movies kind of rattled me and I couldn't sleep. And I stay up and instead of getting all the static and all the fuzz on my TV, there was a Faith healer, and he was right out in Carthage, and he had a TV show on every 4 o'clock in the morning, every Saturday night. And every week, without fail, the some bitch would heal somebody with a strange, terrible, terrible illness. And one time, Timmy, I seen him heal this poor some bitch in a wheelchair. And he came out, and he laid his hands on his forehead, on his head. And he did some wailing and did some crying. And it was all slobbering and snotting and whatnot. And he told him, devil, I cast you out. Jump out of the chair. And I was just truly amazed by the whole goddamn thing. And the boy ran right up the goddamn altar. And you know what I noticed, Timmy? The bottoms of his shoes was wore out. He wasn't no cripple. He wasn't no cripple at all, Timmy. It was all made up.
Well, then it's not as impressive.
From the time I was, that's when
I. It's not as impressive, story. Is it, Brandy?
Well, I mean,
no, and it's a dumb story. What's your point?
You would make a terrible detective, devil. If you look at a crippled boy in a wheelchair and he jumps up and the bottom of the treads on his shoes are all gone, he'd been walking around before that.
You're right. And when Mr. Glass stands up, I'll look at the bottoms of his shoes. I don't give a shit about any of that right now.
You know what's a really great movie talking about that, Colonel, is Leap of Faith with Steve Martin in it.
Paul
he plays an evangel, like a traveling evangelist, and he goes from town to town, and he's a shyster.
Oh, that's shiny.
It's a really good movie. You should check it out.
I like Steve Martin. He retweeted something.
So the doctors would also ascertain that the wounds.
I know. Go, Thad. Hurry.
The doctors would ascertain that the wounds on Owen had been inflicted well before the bellhop's first trip to his room that morning. They believed that he'd attempted to call for help multiple times, but hadn't been able to make it farther picking up the phone due to his injuries. When investigators searched the room, the strangeness continued. There were no clothes in the room at all, and nothing matching the description of Roland Owen when he checked in. The hotel amenities, such as soap and toothpaste, were also missing, as well as anything that could have been the murder weapon. The only thing of note that the detective found were four small fingerprints on the telephone stand.
Here's the thing about that.
Though they were never
identified. If you're
going
to go into somebody's room, tie them up, murder them, chop them up, stab them in the skull, the lungs, whatnot, do all kinds of vile things to them, you know, that's something that the hotel will say, okay, that's a police issue. But you steal that goddamn robe, you got a problem on your hand. That hotel will find you. If this guy would have stole the robe,
and fingerprints on a phone in a hotel where, you know, how many people stayed there? Exactly. Sure
but if they would have stolen the robe, Timmy, I promise you this would no longer be a mystery. The
towel. Take one of the towels.
It'd be like, the hotels and robes are like the student debt people. They will find you no matter what.
Yeah.
I always think about that see people, you know, missing signs. I always think, they don't have student debt.
or their car warranty is about to expire.
I'm sorry, Dad. Did not mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. It just made me think. When my time comes and I die, and I go wherever I'm going, and I hear your and Tim's voices going, Thad, I'm going to go, fuck, I'm in the bad place. I'm just going to know immediately. So,
devil.
Probably.
You don't notice me. I'll have
going to be up there playing her harp. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, furthermore, detectives found that Roland T. Owen never existed. There was no record of any such man having lived anywhere in the United States. They implored the public to come forward with any information they had about the mysterious murder victim. Shortly thereafter, the neighboring hotel that Owen had complained so much got in contact, claiming that a man matching the description had stayed at that hotel on January 1st. He checked in under the name Eugene K. Scott. No relation. However, upon further investigation, you're right, I don't know. Could be. We should look into that. However, upon further investigation, the police reached the same dead end that they had with Roland T. Owen. No man named Eugene K. Scott had any record of ever existing. Over the next couple of months, various people identified the body as a loved one, though none of the identifications stuck. Finally, the case ran cold, and the detectives decided to bury the body. Ooh.
Yeah. How long did they keep that thing? By the time they got around to it.
Okay. Hopefully they... I wouldn't think so. Keep that thing on ice, bring it out, throw it back on ice.
I think after a couple of weeks, they just give up on the ice.
You know, you buy beer, it's warm, make it cold again.
Let you drain out and rot away.
Well, they probably let the dog nibble on you a little bit. Its course. You know?
Yeah.
Less
than you know, you fart a lot when you're dead.
Apparently you do.
Yeah.
Dog's got
a lot of gas.
Amazing.
The funeral home received a mysterious call not long afterward from a woman who would not give her name, but did say she would be sending funds for Owen to have a proper burial. They received an envelope a few days later containing money wrapped in newspaper. As they arranged for a small funeral, a bouquet of flowers showed up at the funeral home with a letter that read only,
well, that's not...
Love Forever, Lucille.
Well, let me tell you, Timmy, about a year later or so... A woman named Ogletree claimed that Owen was her son, who had been missing for years. She walked in, and you know what she said?
What?
I am your mother, Owen.
Her name was Ogletree? That's a terrible name.
Otis.
Otis.
Owen.
So she claimed his name was Artemis Ogletree, and that he had been staying at another Kansas City area hotel at the time he went missing. Ooh. But he left because he was pissed because they was charging too much money, though there wasn't any more evidence to her case than any of the others. Police were eventually inclined to believe her.
He probably didn't get his reward points.
He did not. That's why you don't use orbits. Though experts claimed it was based on lack of evidence in the rest of the case. To this day, Timmy... This case remains unsolved, but I think we might have cracked it here. Opened yearly by the Kansas City Police, as new pieces of evidence unfold. I don't know where they're coming from, but the tip line's still there. It's not like the old days where you pick up the phone and say, Sarah, get me the... hey, Sarah, see? Give me the police, see? I got a tip. Now you just pick up the phone and call into the hotline. So anyway, for the time being, however... It seems that the mystery of room 1046 may never truly be solved. The hotel closed in 1980. Now, it later underwent a $45.5 million restoration by developer Ron Jeremy and reopened
Nope.
And I'm sorry, that's Ron Jury. Never mind. And reopened in 2005 as the Hilton President, Kansas City. Room 1046 is still the most requested room by guests. And
how did we crack it?
God damn it, devil.
How did we crack it?
What do I got to get crayons and shit up in here to explain this to you?
He had to show you the dots.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jesus fucking Christ. Let me make a devil diagram here. So here's room 1046 right here. Here's the body.
I got to pee.
Okay. That's what we got to work with right here. All right.
Nobody can see that.
It's a picture of a stick person with a frowny face.
Yeah. A little bit of blood draw all around him.
Amen. Okay, well, then who killed him?
You know what we're going to do, devil? Here's what we're going to do, because, you know, when the boys sometimes, and they did pretty well, they come home with math homework. Yeah, and I could do the homework for them, but they wasn't going to learn nothing. What we're going to do, devil.
I'm asking a simple question.
We're going to leave you with the script, devil.
Who killed him, then?
And let you come to the conclusion that Timmy, Thad, and myself came to. If you would have listened to the whole goddamn story, you'd be so clear.
It's right in front of
your nose, devil. Who killed him? But we can't do the work for you, devil. We're trying to help you help yourself here. Okay? We can't do all the work. Timmy wrote the script. I brought the charm. Thad brought all the expertise. I mean, you're really, and you're nothing but a pretty face, devil. That's all.
Brandy, what's your final thoughts?
I'm putting up a picture of him. He looks like Eddie Munster. Look at him.
Well, it's a cold case that has not been cracked. I think it was just some BDSM gone wrong.
Well, Brandy, you always say BDSM going on.
Everything's BDSM to you. What is it with you?
That's what you said when we did the story about Alfalfa.
Yeah, the BDSM Radium Girls.
Everything is a BDSM.
Then don't ask me what I think.
Colonel, what's your final thoughts on room 1046?
Well, clearly, Timmy, I hate to be the one to point out the obvious, right? But, I mean, let's just say Ray Charles was strolling by room 1046. Mm-hmm. Even he could see who did it. And it was clearly Mary Septic. You can only fuck with a maid for so long before they come back and chop you into little pieces. Timmy, everybody know that. But he didn't know it. He pushed his luck.
Dad, what's your final thoughts on room 1046?
Sounds messy. I feel like there was a lot to clean
probably
up.
Probably had to repaint.
A little new bit. Carpet. Maybe some new carpet.
I think it's very clear. But they didn't change the mattress. They did it.
Mattress stayed.
Or the bellhop.
Hotels don't do that.
Who was a Shriner.
You know what? I wonder if, you know what would be worse than being named Mary Septic or Mary Septic is if you had a sister named Anna. Anna Septic.
Good point, Colonel. Brandy, he always just makes it so clear.
I'm like the Buddha of podcasts. Just pay attention. Close your eyes. Take me in. And you get it.
You got Buddha's belly. You got Buddha's belly, that's for sure.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. And if you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot. Or
just a tip to me, just a wee little bit.
Again, that's historydweebs.com.
Historydweebs.org.
Or you can go to our website and go straight to the Patreon page.
Yep.
Right?
You can. Or you can go to the President Hotel. Yep.
This is
Kansas City chopped and into little pieces. Ask for room 1046.
Why aren't you in your man cave today,
This is my cubby. I don't call it a man cave. I call it a cubby.
Oh, that's it. Oh, well, that's a cute little thing you got. Those back are my there little Denver Bronco beanie
babies.
Your Hummels.
You know what? Don't Looks make like that's Hummel Noam right Chomsky.
Oh, you devil.
I don't care anymore.
Do Let's you not know anything? You can't even see everyone? From there. I don't want to do this in public, but it's Noam Chomsky is the big one. And really, the man who should be called the father of our country, Thomas Paine, and Aristotle.
You have a Hummel.
Devil.
Just embrace it.
Yeah.
You have a Hummel. Just embrace it. Old ladies have them. You
they're
have
called,
them.
They're called busts.
It tracks. Devil. It's okay.
They're called busts. You see, if you ever went to a museum in your whole life, one time, devil, if you even at school, did they never take you on a day trip to a museum, devil? Just not once. You don't know what a bust is. A bust. I know a bust to you. I know a bust to you is when you and your friends all got a bunch of beer and weed and the police come kicking down the door. No, these are busts too, devil.
Okay. Thank you for joining us, everyone. We'll see you Good next night. Time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm sure they'd agree with you with worms crawling through their eye holes.
Breaded clam sounds just like a yeast infection to me.
You think the bellhop had one of those little fez hats?
There ain't going to be an album called Dear Kirk.
And then I sat through that goddamn awful story about going to Kroger.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.